Today's a day that we have is set aside by our country to honor mothers. And I think that's a fitting thing, but we want to take a few moments today and also honor families. Because it's more than just mothers and fathers, it's the fact that God has blessed us with families in our nation. And so this morning we want to have a baby dedication. And I want to ask the couples that are participating in that and any grandparents that want to join them, I'd like to ask them to come up front at this time. And while they're doing that, I want to just show some pictures here of the babies that are being dedicated this morning. Carl, can you run that? It's actually a blessing that we have as a congregation. I was telling them this morning when we met, it's a blessing that we have as a congregation to have this many young families and this many children. And because I believe, Scripture actually talks about the fact that children are a blessing of the Lord. It talks about that in Psalms and actually a couple of other places. And it's a sign of the Lord's blessing to us as he gives us children. And I know at 3 o'clock in the morning when they're crying, it doesn't feel like a blessing sometimes, but the Lord has richly blessed us as a congregation. And the whole basis for a baby dedication, and I know there's some controversy about this, but really a baby dedication is about the fact, it comes out of the story of Hannah. And we know the story of Hannah, how she was barren and prayed for a son. And I want to read a couple verses from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 27 and 28. We know that she prayed for a son, and the Lord granted her their request. And she said this when they were dedicating the child to the Lord: "For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted my petition which I ask of him. Therefore I also have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he shall be lent to the Lord." And then it says this, and they worship the Lord there. And it's a powerful story of how God entered in and gave her the blessing of a child, a blessing of a son. And she recognized that probably in more powerful ways than we do, recognize that our children are a blessing and an inheritance from the Lord that he's giving to us to pass generation after generation, that we have that inheritance that follows us. And so she recognized the blessing of the Lord, and she said, as a result of that, I want to give my son back to the Lord to be involved in his service for as long as he lives. And so really, the baby dedication is probably more about us as parents than it is about us as children. And it's about us recognizing that the Lord has blessed us with an incredible gift. And we're just saying we want to offer him back to the Lord to be involved in his service. And with that comes a responsibility to us as parents. I believe, let me say this, Psalm 139 gives the picture of God individually or coming down and individually designing each child. He knit them together while they were in your wombs as mothers. And he designed the child that he has for you as a couple, and the one that he's giving to you. He has a specific purpose for each one, that he wants them to be involved in the future. And so it's our responsibility as parents then to be able to raise and nurture the child so that it can follow in the best way possible the calling that the Lord has on its life, even at this age. Because the Lord has a call. He's already has a plan that he wants them to be involved in. And it's our responsibility as parents to raise and nurture them. And I'm going to ask Doug and Tim actually to come up and help with the prayer time here as well. So what we're planning to do is I'll go down and ask you some questions, and then I'm going to ask the grandparent, especially the grandfather, to offer a prayer of blessing and dedication to the Lord, if you're willing to do that. And then we'll close as pastors. So we'll start here, actually, with you. Oh, I'm sorry, I'm missing a spot here. I asked them to share just a little bit as couples, anything they want to share with the congregation. I'll start over here.
Just the way I had to start on this side. Yeah, I don't know. Our prayer is that we can raise our children to love God and respect Him. Not so much as a bunch of words that we can tell them, but they can see it through our lives. As we grow, I know we'll make mistakes, but they can see through the mistakes and head in the right direction.
Well, it was about 5.5 years from the time that Nikki was born and when Patrick was born, and it seemed like the last couple of years sometimes we wondered if God really cared that we wanted to have a baby again, but on December 22nd, He proved that He does care for us and He loves us very deeply, and I thank Him for that. And also thank Him that He allows us as parents to experience the pure joy of having a little baby. And I just thank Him for that.
As I was thinking about what I was going to share, I reflected back to the time period before she was born, before Malia was born. Some of you may remember the journey that she took us on with the difficult pregnancy that Sari had and the bed rest and everything else that goes with it. I can honestly look back at that and say that I think it was actually a growing time, first of all, for me spiritually, and I think it drew us together closer as a family. So if that was the purpose of us having to go through that, it was worth it. But I did want to pull a couple people out, too. During that time, our small group, Irvin and Martha were our small group leaders, and we just really appreciated the support that we felt from them and the small group as a whole. I know a couple of ladies, Martha and Darlene, and some more, Eunice, I think, some more friends of hers had stopped by and spent time with her and really helped her day go faster. But yes, as far as for me, I found myself doing the dishes and packing lunches and everything else. I think it was good for me just to recognize again everything that Sari does for our family. And this is Mother's Day, so I think I can do that publicly today. So thank you.
Yeah, I just want to say thank you to God and for my wife for the little son that He did give to us. And I guess for a challenge that I'd like to give to myself is if my son doesn't see passion and love for God in me, how's he ever going to get that? And so, like, I guess my prayer is that he can see God living in me and my wife, and that I can pass that on down to my children. So just keep praying for us, and also it's fun to have little kids with all the rest of you guys, so, yeah.
Well, our desire as a family is to provide a place for our sons to grow up where they feel loved, and also that we can teach them about what God it means to us, and that hopefully when they reach the age of decision that they've learned everything they need to make the right decision. So, well, we appreciate your prayers as well.
Well, I want to thank the Lord for His goodness to us, and thank each one of you for praying for Ava. Over the time that she was born, there were some things that we weren't sure about, and God's been good to us, and he's healed her. So we want to praise the Lord for his goodness to us. It's kind of hard for me to say everything I'd like to say, but to you as a congregation, thank you for what you mean to us, and the way you've helped us in our lives already. Just keep praying.
Thank you for sharing. I think we'll move into the baby dedication time. And there's enough new babies in our congregation that I'm cheating a little bit. I'm going to have a piece of paper here with me because it's been a little hard to keep up with all the names. But I'm going to start here with you, Crit and Rose. Is it still your desire, Crit and Rose, to present your child, Ava, in dedication to the Lord? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Ava is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide her and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come, she may of her own free choice accept Christ as Savior, dedicating herself to God's service? Yes. I'm going to ask you to just lead out in a prayer of blessing, and then I'll close.
Father, we pause before you this morning. Thank you, Lord, again for this privilege that we can have grandchildren. Just think of Crit and Rose now with their little family. We just pray, Lord, you would give them much wisdom and understanding how to teach their girls and to live upright lives. We just thank you, Lord, for them as they endeavor to teach their children. In Jesus' name.
Father, I thank you for Ava. I thank you for the gift that you've given to Chris, Crit, and Rose in giving her to them. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you have showed yourself in her life already at this young age. And Lord, we were praying for her health not too many months ago, and you have granted her that. And we want to honor you today for what you've done in her life. I pray a blessing on her as a child, Lord, that you would bless her life even at this age, as she grows, as she matures, as she as Crit and Rose continue to pour into her life and teach her the ways of the Lord. Lord, I pray that you would bless her abundantly and just mold her into the lady that you want her to be. And we commit her to you, Lord, and dedicate her to you for your service in the future. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Is it still your desire, Seth and Karen, to present Cameron in dedication to the Lord?
Yes, it is.
Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Cameron is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating himself to God's service? Thank you.
Lord, we bow before you, grateful for your love, your care to each and every one of us. I just want to say thank you for Seth and Karen and the wisdom that they have shown with Dante, and now as they have Cameron in their hands and arms and in their lives, that you would guide and direct and bless and continue to shine your light of truth into their lives. Lord, we just thank you for life, for health, for strength. We thank you for the blessing of family. We just are humbled and just so grateful that we accept this gift from you. And we just thank you in Jesus' name.
Lord, I do thank you for Cameron. Thank you for the gift he has to Seth and Karen. And just for the dreams they have for him and for the hopes and the truth they speak into his life, Lord. May it be impounded into his heart. He can live a life in service for you. Lord, bless Seth and Karen for the journey, for the ups and the downs, for the times when they may struggle and know how to respond and how to love. And Lord, give them grace, give them patience, give them understanding how to love well and to care well. Lord, bless Cameron and his life. Pray he grow up to be a man of God, a mighty warrior for you. He would impact the world for Jesus. In your name we pray, amen.
Dylan and Merletta, is it still your desire to present Braden in dedication to the Lord?
Yes.
Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Braden is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life, and do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior, dedicating himself to God's service?
Father in heaven, we thank you right now for Braden. Father, he's just a young little life, but he's precious to you. He's precious to Dalen and Merletta. And Father, I pray your blessing on his young life. Father, I pray that as Dalen and Merletta and others, Father, if it's family or church, as seeds are planted in his young heart, Father, I pray that they could stick, that they could take hold and someday grow into fruition. That he could be a man who has passion for you, a man who lives to bless you with his life. I pray your blessing on Dalen and Merletta as they raise him and make decisions for him. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Is it still your desire, Danny and Sari, to present Malia in dedication to the Lord? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Malia is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide her and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come she may of her own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating herself to God's service? Let's pray. Father, I thank you so much for Malia, for giving her to Danny and Sari. I thank you for her life. I thank you for the health that she's experienced so far. And Lord, I thank you for the way that you were with them through the pregnancy, Danny and Sari, and that you protected and guided them. And Father, we just pray for Malia this morning. And I ask in the name of Jesus that you would be with her. I pray that your blessing and anointing would be on her even at this age. Father, continue to draw her heart to you. And in the years to come as she grows and matures, I thank you for Danny and Sari for their lives and for their commitment to you and their dedication to you. And I pray a blessing on them as parents as well as they raise Malia. And we commit them to you, all of them, in Jesus' name. Amen. Is it still your desire, Daryl and Rosie, to present your child, Patrick, in dedication to the Lord? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Patrick is taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise, by the grace of God, to instruct and guide him and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come he may of his own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating himself to God's service?
Father, thank you for Patrick. Thank you for the gift he is to Daryl and Rosie. Lord, you've answered their prayer for many years of a child. Lord, I pray a blessing on Patrick. I pray that your word would be driven deep into his heart, that he would learn to love you, learn to know your ways, what you're like, and who you are, and who he is in you. and that you love him and you care for him. Lord, bless Danny, Daryl, and Rosie as they instill this in Patrick's heart. Help them to do that daily and to just plant seeds that would someday grow up to be a mighty man for you. So we commit the family to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We'll do both of yours at one time, if that's okay. Luke and Annette, is it still your desire to present Blake and Ava in dedication to the Lord? Do you acknowledge your duty to see that Blake and Ava are taught, I'm sorry, Autumn, I apologize for that, are taught the meaning and purpose of the Christian life? And do you promise by the grace of God to instruct and guide them and to model a faithful Christian walk so that in years to come they may of their own free choice accept Christ as Savior and Lord, dedicating themselves to God's service?
Our Father in heaven, we thank you that you are God and you overrule in our lives as you see best. And we thank you for Blake and Alden, and we thank you for Luke and Annette. And we ask that you would move in a real way in each of their lives, that they could be of service for you, bring honor to your name, and that at the end of life you would be able to say, this is my beloved son and daughter, and I'm well pleased with them. Help us as grandparents to example to them your love and care. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Father in heaven, I thank you as well for Blake and for Autumn. Father, I pray that you would bless both of their young lives with seeds that can be planted deeply now and grow and blossom for you someday. Father, to have a man and a lady who love you and who are willing to serve you with their lives. Father, I pray that you'd bless Luke and Annette with wisdom as they make choices for them. I pray that you'd protect their home, Father, and just pray that Blake could grow up to be a strong leader for you and that Autumn could someday do great things for you as well, if it's in supporting a husband or whatever you have in store for both of their lives. Just pray that your blessing could be upon them. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
I wish you could see the children going after the mics and sucking my finger and things like that. It's pretty neat. The responsibility for training these children actually doesn't just lie with them as parents. We also have a responsibility as a congregation. And one of the reasons I like to do a baby dedication service, is it calls us back as a congregation to our role and our responsibility, because the same commitments that they made as parents, we need to make as a congregation. We need to model to them what a Christian life is really like and what it's all about. And we have an opportunity and a responsibility to join them in their duty as parents and to support them in that. And as an evidence of our willingness as a congregation to join in that and support them as couples and to do our role in modeling what a Christian life is really like, I'd like to ask you to stand as a congregation. Let's just pray together. Father, I thank you for this body of believers that you have brought together here. And Lord, I believe as we're standing here before you, you see our hearts and you see our commitment that as a body of believers, we will do our part in helping to provide an atmosphere and an environment where children are safe and children can grow and mature and they can look at us as adults and really see Jesus flowing through our lives. Lord, that's our responsibility as a body here. And I pray that that would happen in, for us as a congregation. We stand here acknowledging that that's our desire. I pray that you would bless us as a church, continue to lead, continue to direct us. And Father, above all, continue to draw our hearts to you, closer to you every day, every moment, that our hearts could be drawn to you. And Lord, we just commit ourselves to you again this morning as a congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
What awesome privilege it is to be a part of baby dedication, not only from a pastor point of view, but from a father point of view and also a grandfather point of view. Last year we got to do our grandson Winston, and it was a special time. And yesterday we were at the ball tournament. I have a picture on my phone I treasure. This Winston, he's there at the chain link fence just peering into the ball, and I'm hunkered down beside him doing the same thing. It's just a neat picture of the generation there. Well, this morning is the 98th official Mother's Day, but in reality, Mother's Day has been going on for ages, and the Bible places a high priority on mothers and their role in our world. A woman was renewing her driver's license at a county clerk's office and was asked the woman recorder to state her position. She hesitated, uncertain how to classify herself. "What I mean is," explained the recorder, "do you have a job or are you just a..." "Of course I have a job," snapped the woman. "I'm a mom." "We don't list moms as an occupation. Housewife covers it," said the recorder emphatically. I forgot all about this story until the other day I found myself in the same situation, this time in our town hall. The clerk was obviously a career woman, poised, efficient, possessed with a high-sounding title like official interrogator or town registrar. "What's your occupation?" she probed. "What made me say it, I don't know. The words simply popped out. I'm a research associate in the field of child development and human relations." The clerk paused, ballpoint pen frozen in midair as she looked up as though, "Did I hear right?" I repeated the title slowly, emphasizing the most significant words. Then I stared in wonder as my pronouncement was written in bold black ink on the official questionnaire. "Might I ask," said the clerk with interest, "just what do you do in your field?" Coolly, without a trace of flutter in my voice, I heard myself reply, "I have a continuing program of research," what mother doesn't, "in the laboratory and in the field." Normally I would have said indoors and out. "I'm working for my masters, first the Lord, then my whole family. And I already have 4 credits, all daughters. Of course, the job is one of the most demanding in humanity. Any mother can agree. And I often work 14 hours a day, more like 24 hours. But the job is challenging, more challenging than most run-of-the-mill careers, and more rewarding and more satisfying than just money." There was an increased respect on the clerk's voice as she completed the form, stood up, and personally ushered me out the door. As I drove into our driveway, buoyed with my new glamorous career, I was greeted with my lab associates, age 13, 7, and 3. Upstairs, I heard our new experimental model, the 6-month baby, in the child development program, testing out her new vocals. I felt I had beat the bureaucracy. I had gone on official record as something more distinguished than just a mom. Motherhood, what a glorious career, especially when there's a title on the door. I don't know if you ever found yourself thinking you're just a mom, but you're not just a mom. As I look out across the audience, I see mothers here with their children all nice this morning, dressed up well, primed and proper. And I'm assuming that at home your houses are all clean, not a bit of dust around, that the toys are all picked up, the magazines are stacked neatly on the magazine rack. The flower beds are all weeded, the garden's all weeded. The dinner's ready to be served when you get home. And I'm standing in front of a room full of perfect moms. Guess what? It's not happening. And guess what? I'm not a perfect dad. And this morning, if there's anyone here feeling the pressure to be a perfect mom, I want to release you of that pressure, because we'll never be perfect outside of Jesus Christ. And the pressure the world puts on us as moms and dads, and as people to be this something, this good housekeeping mom, or this picture-perfect mom with every hair in place and everything neat and tidy. Let's let that go out the door. If I could, we'd open the doors and we'd all just let it go, because we'll never be that. This morning, I want to encourage your hearts that the only perfection we'll ever be is in Jesus Christ. And as moms and as dads and as children as well, I want to encourage our hearts to, in Philippians 3:14, where it says, I press towards the prize, towards the goal. I'm going to give it all I've got. I'm going to do everything I've got within my power, the grace that God gives me to be the best mom, to be the best dad that I could be. And just let that pressure of the perfection, the quote, perfection that the world puts on us, just let it go out the door. Just be that mom God's called you to be. We live in a culture where personal happiness is the highest goal of society, and we see it all around us. We see it in marital unhappiness and divorce and sexual immorality and self-fulfillment. We live in a culture that is spinning out of control, and where the family unit is just disappearing, and the foundation of our world, of our culture, is just being destroyed, and we see it all around us. But this morning, the Bible lifts up the family. The Bible lifts up motherhood as important. And we want to exalt that this morning as moms and as motherhood, and put honor on our moms. We're not here to worship our moms. We're here to honor and give honor to our mothers for the position they hold, not for perfection, but for the position they hold. And that's powerful as mothers. Mothers have played an important role in the Bible, and we could list the number of moms who had impact on families and their communities and societies in the Bible, both good and bad. We could think of both, but that's not my point this morning. What I want to call mothers to is to look at motherhood as a ministry, to look at your role as a mom as a ministry. You're a minister of God, an agent of God to minister to those in your care and those around you. We could look at Proverbs 31, the Proverbs 31 woman. We could spend time there, but I'm not going there this morning. We can look at Titus 2 and what God has to say about motherhood there. And there's powerful teachings in those passages. But just to touch a little bit on the awesome responsibilities mom has to nurture their children, to mold their children's lives, to instill truth into their children, to discipline, to help them understand the voice of God, and to just all the responsibilities of maintaining a house. Moms, you have an awesome responsibility from God, and we honor that this morning. We'd be amiss to say that in mentioning all about our moms if we didn't mention our mother's love, the love our mothers have for us. Someone has said that the mother's love is the closest picture of God's love for us. I want to tell you, or try to tell you, a story about Solomon Rosenberg. A story of told in World War II during the Holocaust that took millions of lives. Keep in mind the mother's love. This is a true story. Solomon Rosenberg, his wife, his two children, and Solomon's mother and father were arrested and thrown into a Nazi prison camp, concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and there were simply two rules. You worked, and when you couldn't work, you were killed. That was the two rules of the camp. Solomon watched as his father and mother became too feeble to work and were marched off to their death. And he feared that his youngest son, David, would be the next because he was a frail child. Every evening, Solomon would come back from his field work and would look around the camp for his family. And they'd usually huddle together in a corner, and he'd lead them in a prayer of thanksgiving for another day of life, another day of God's grace on their lives. One day, Solomon came back and didn't see the family, couldn't find them anywhere, until he found his one son, Joshua, in a corner, weeping and praying. He said, "Joshua, tell me it isn't true." And Joshua said, "It's true, Papa. Today, David was not strong enough to work, so they came for him." "But where's your mother?" Solomon said. "Oh, Papa, when they came for David, he was afraid and crying. Mama took him by his hand and said, "Don't be afraid." She said, "I'll go with you." Isn't that a picture of Mom's love? Isn't it a picture of God's love for us as well? That when we're walking through the valley, the shadow of death, God comes down with his hand and says, "Take my hand. So I'll go with you. There's nothing to be afraid of. I'm going with you." A message from a mom to her child. "I gave you life, but I cannot live it for you. I give you direction, but I cannot be there to lead you. I can take you to church, but I cannot make you believe. I can buy you beautiful clothes, but I cannot make you beautiful inside. I can give you love, but I cannot force it upon you. I can teach you to share, but I cannot make you unselfish. I can teach you to respect, but I cannot force you to show honor. I can advise you about friends, but I cannot choose them for you. I can advise you about sex, but I cannot keep you pure. I can tell you about alcohol and drugs, but I cannot say no for you. I can tell you about lofty goals, but I cannot achieve them for you. I can teach you about kindness, but I cannot force you to be gracious. I can pray for you, but I cannot make you walk with God. I can tell you how to live, but I cannot give you eternal life. I can love you with unconditional love all my life, and I will." You may have had a mother like that, who had great love and great passion for you. And most of us here have been recipients of a mother's love, who has given tons of energy into our lives and poured themselves into us. And we could mention and take time to do that. But at the end of the day, when you're sitting around the living room telling stories as children, reflecting on your mom, whether she's there or whether she's not there, yeah, you might talk about the pet peeves that she had about the magazines being perfectly in the corner of the room, or every weed picked out of the garden. You may, she had her things that she just liked to do. But I think the thing that's going to have the most impact on your life is her love. You'll probably come back to talk about the love your mother had for you. And I'm aware of a room this size that there's probably people here who did have a mother who maybe loved them the way they should. And that's hard. And I want to allow you to experience that loss and be okay with, you know, maybe that's the best she could do. Can we honor them for who they are as a mom? Can we bless them for the position of a mom? And can we purpose in our heart that today I'll do all I can to be the best mom I can be for my children? I mentioned we could look at Proverbs 31, and I'm trying to go as fast yet as slow as I can. But there's a verse, Proverbs 31 is a beautiful passage about a godly mother. But there's one couple verses in there I want to give special attention to. Open your Bibles to Proverbs 31. Let's look at it together. And as I read this, I'm as guilty as anyone. And that's why I'm sharing this morning, because it impacted me in a huge way. If there was a title for the sermon, it would be that they would rise up and call her blessed. Proverbs 31, verse 28. You probably know this verse, you probably read it before. "Her children arise up and call her blessed, her husband also. He praises her." Listen to what he says. "Many daughters have done virtuous, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates." Men, children, we have an awesome responsibility to pour life back into our mothers and to our moms and wives. Now we're going to set Mother's Day aside for a bit, and I got a lesson for everyone. I want you to think about a blessing, what a blessing is. And I'm gonna take you back to Genesis 27 and just tell you the story. I want you to think with me. Back in Genesis 27, we have Isaac and Rebekah. And that family knew the power of the blessing, the power of the blessing on the prosper of the future generations. And Rebekah and Jacob were willing to lie, cheat, to steal, to get that blessing. That's how passionate they were about a blessing. Esau responds in Genesis 27, verse 38. It says, "Have you only one blessing, my father? Bless me also, my father." And Esau wept when he found out what had happened. And you know the story. He wept, and he hated his brother Jacob. Angry, why? Because he knew the power of the blessing. He knew what that power held for the future generations. And if you follow Jacob and his family, you see that Jacob prospered. His family grew. His herds grew. He grew in wealth. He grew in his families did not, and flocks did not experience sicknesses. And they conquered enemies for generations. Whereas Esau's did not. His family was not very large. They were often plagued with sicknesses and conquered by enemies. Have you observed families today where parents bless their children, instill life into their children? You follow those children, and you see a pattern, the value of a blessing. What is a blessing? A blessing is God's way of stamping deep into one's heart his image, his thoughts about who God is, identity of who this person is, who this child is, and destiny. Why am I here? We are agents of God to instill that deep into the hearts. And I'm going to use, for example, our children. We are agents of God to instill images of God into the hearts of our young children. I almost let Dalen preach a sermon this morning because he talked about that was his goal of instilling in Braden the ways of God. And I believe it's so crucial because I believe that vision for life as us as people comes so much out of that image that is stamped on our hearts of how we see God or the lack thereof. So much of our lives come out of that and who we are and how we live. Our impact is so greatly on that stamp of who God is and who I am and who what God has for me. The blessing is the opposite of cursing. Blessing is God's way of stamping his image of identity and destiny in the hearts of people. And I believe cursing is just the opposite, Satan's way of stamping his identity and his purposes on the hearts of people. In Hebrew, blessing means to kneel before, but in the spiritual connotation, it meant to empower, to prosper in every area of life, emotional, spiritual, physical, marriage, children, finance, career, ministry. It was meant for them to prosper. And a lot of it had to do with material things in their lives. They were blessed to be fruitful and multiply. And we see as the result of the curse back in the beginning of Genesis, God instituted the blessing to instill life, to instill his image on the hearts of people. In the Greek and the New Testament, blessing means to speak well of. And in our English language, it's ironic that the word is eulogy. Now, when do you usually hear a eulogy? At a funeral. What good does it do the person in the casket to be spoken well of when they can't hear? To curse, to speak evil to someone is to pour Satan's message into their heart, while blessing is to help imprint images of God into their heart. And I was drawn to the passage in Proverbs 23, verse 7. It says, "As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he." And I think so much of our lives today is impacted by that stamp of God on our hearts. We live so much out of our image of God, or the lack thereof. Today, Jewish families on Friday evening gather the family around a meal, and the father gives a blessing to the wife and to the children. And he speaks a blessing, a verbal blessing, into his children. And I believe that's so powerful. You know, we may not be under the ceremonial laws of the Old Testament of the firstborn and the things like that, but I believe the power of the blessing, the spoken word, is just as powerful today as it was back then. I believe it's an awesome responsibility we have as dads and as people to speak truth into one's lives. Proverbs 18:23 says, life and death is in our tongue. Do we grasp that life and death are in our tongue, in the power of our tongue? And we can choose whether poison or fruit, which one will we choose? Life and death are in our tongue. Ken Davis said, the most important purpose of our voice is to cheer someone on to the finish line. Do our words speak life, or do they speak death? I was at the ball game yesterday. Those of you who don't know, our church had a ball game, and that's where I got my red nose. I usually don't have a red nose, but I was in the sun most of the day. And I'm amazed every time I go to a ball game, the amount of encouragement that is given at a ball game. I was just observing one third base coach, and it wasn't our team, but it was another team. Every time that ball was pitched, he said something to the batter. Whether he swung and missed, whether he fouled it off, whether he took the pitch, he spoke truth to that batter. It was just amazing. I don't care if he struck out. He was spoken truth into. Now, I didn't look up the verse. I'm not sure where it is, but it says, bless those that curse you. Well, it wasn't that situation yesterday, but to bless those who do wrong to you. What does that look like in our world today, to bless those who do wrong to us? How do we bless them? How do we speak truth into them about who they are and to stamp some truth into their heart, even though they may curse us? The power of a blessing. And that impacts every one of us. The words we say give life or they give death. And we choose. Do we want fruit or poison? The power of the spoken word, the power of a blessing. I want to bring it back to Mother's Day. At home I have a box. It's about yay big, about yay deep. In that box contains all the letters I've written to my wife before we were married. We only live 10 miles apart, but for some reason I love to write her letters. I think some of them were hers to me, but they have all the correspondence we had during our dating years. And I wanted so bad to win her heart. And so I spoke truth into her. I told her what I thought of her. I told her what I believe she could be. And the plans that I thought, you know, what all our marriage could be, and I don't know what else, but I was passionate about getting that message into her. I was passionate about that. And I'm thinking to myself, it just hit me as I was thinking about Mother's Day, and you know, I believe our wives and our mothers have given so much. They've given tons. Are we still that passionate about instilling truth into our mothers, into our wives? If your wife is a mother, are we still passionate about instilling truth into their hearts, stamping God's image on their heart, telling them, even in their maybe failures, of what God thinks of them, and encouraging them on to be all God wants them to be, and to be ministers, whatever area God's called them to be? Are we still blessing with the same passion that I had when I was young, trying to win her heart? And over the years, I must confess that doesn't happen as often as it should. And is my silence a curse? Well, she just knows. She just knows that I really care about her, and I still like her, and I still love her, and you get the idea. the spoken word, the power of a blessing. We read in our, Diane was reading the Sunday school lesson commentary this morning, and I love this thought, and I apply it to our mothers and wives and any position as well, but it says, honor is not dependent on the worthiness of the recipient, but on the character of the giver. You know, our mothers will never be perfect, and if we wait to praise them, to bless them, to encourage them until they are perfect, it'll never happen. Can we bless them for their position as moms? Can we speak truth into their hearts? Can we see ways that they're trying to love and encourage that and bless that? They give so much. They've poured so much. I think it's time we turn the tables and pour back into them. If we want them to be all God wants them to be, I think God is calling us to pour into their lives truth, to be agents, to imprint His image on our mothers' hearts, to speak truth, to speak life, to speak vision instead of just existing, to inspire them in their ministry of children and beyond the house as well, the power of the spoken word. You know, I was thinking, I'll just reflect on the interaction with my wife and children in the past period of time. Have I spoken any life into my children and my wife? Or has it just been, hey, I'm home, when's supper? You clean your room up, what time are you leaving? What time are you getting home? How life-giving is that? Honey, where'd you put my? I'm very guilty of that. Any life in those words? I'm just allowing you to hear the sermon I've been preaching to myself. Life and death are in our words. Words like, you'll never be. You're always a mess. Can't you ever? Do you ever find yourself saying those words? Words of death? Have I poured, have I stamped God's image into the hearts of my wife, to my mother, to my children? Of what they mean to God, how special they are to God, of destiny, of who they are in Christ, and what God has for them. How will it happen? Will it happen by chance? Maybe a friend will do it for me. Maybe a teacher will do it for me. Maybe some young man will come and steal your daughter's heart away. The awesome responsibility we have of speaking life and truth into the hearts of our children, agents of God. And like I said before, I believe our lives, the life we live is directly linked to the stamped imprint of God in our hearts, or the lack thereof. This morning on Mother's Day, we can begin anew. We can pour into our wives, our mothers, our children, our friends. And we can ask God to reveal anything to us of things we may have said hurtful. Ask God to reveal them to us. And we can go ask for forgiveness and make things right. And as we do that, pour out a blessing on them to be all God has created them to be, especially our mothers. As she has poured tons into us, let's pour back into her life, vision, images of God on their hearts. James Dobson said, you want to grow your love, whether it's in a marriage, whether it's in a friendship. Praise them publicly. Let them know in public what you think of them. 4 years ago, I did a video with the children of expressing thanks to Mom, and thought it was time to do it again. Now, we didn't get all the children, and some of them were, like, I probably would have been bashful at that age, so don't take offense if your child's not on here. But some of them wanted to say something. Some of them will probably tell you in your ear when you get home. But we have a little clip of what some of the children said to their moms. So, Tim, if you'll roll the tape.
I think I want to tell her that I love her. Don't say hello, Mommy.
Happy
Mother's Day.
Thank you for taking care of me.
I love you.
I love Mom.
I love you forever.
Happy Mother's Day!
Join us here.
Mother, help us.
Yeah, to go robot.
Mom helps you.
I thank moms for teaching us and taking care of us.
I thank my mom for loving and caring.
Thank you for caring for me, Mom.
Thanks, Mom, for always caring for me. Thanks, Mom, for loving and caring for me.
Thank you so much, Mom, for teaching me and caring for me and all that you've done for me.
Thanks, Mom, for teaching and caring for me.
Thank you, Mom, for feeding me and finding me a home.
Happy Mother's Day!
I just want to thank you for always being there when I need you.
I just have to say I love you, Mom.
Thank you for helping so much behind the scenes, Mom.
Thank you for always coming to me.
Thanks for everything you did, Mom. Love you.
Thanks for being here, Mom. Love you.
Mom, you are truly the greatest. 86.
Thanks for being a great mom.
Thanks for everything you do, Mom.
Mom, thanks for all you've done for me. Thanks for your prayers. Thanks for caring for me. And also the gift you are to my children today. I love you.
Mom, you mean a lot to me because when I do something wrong, you don't usually get mad at me. You mean a lot to me and I love you.
Hey, Mom, I love you and I appreciate everything you do for me and how you care for me.
Hi, Mom, I appreciate what you do for me when I need you.
Hi, Mom. I love everything you do. You're the best. I love you.
Thanks, Mom, for everything you do for me, and thanks that you just are the best, Mom, and love you.
Hi, Mom. I'm just thankful that Hallie makes such good food, and I love
you. Hi, Mom. Thanks for everything you did for us. Thank you for providing for me. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Hi, Mom. Thanks for all you do for me. Happy Mother's Day.
My mom's not here today, but one thing that I've really learned to appreciate about her, just looking back, she was always willing to take time to talk. Mom was very easy to talk to, and someone that I could relate to. And there was many a times where we would sit down in the morning and drink coffee together, and I really cherish those moments with my mom. Thanks, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day!
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you, and I thank you for all that you've poured into my life, and I now see you pouring into the lives of my children. I appreciate it. Happy Mother's Day.
Hey, Mom, happy Mother's Day. I just want to bless you for all that you do for me, and I just want you to know that I love you and thank you for all the hard work you poured into my life. Happy Mother's Day. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thanks for always being there for me.
Well, happy Mother's Day, Mom. Thank you so much for everything you do, and I don't think we'll ever fully understand how much you sacrificed for us, but I love you so much, and have a great Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. I love you. Just want to thank you for everything that you've done for me throughout my life. Happy Mother's Day.
I love you, Mom. You're the best. Kathy, you have been an amazing stepmom, and thank you for that. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Thanks for putting up with me for 16 years.
Hey, Mom. Thanks for everything. I love you.
Happy Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for loving you.
Mom, I just want to thank you for taking care of me my whole life.
Mom, I love you. You're the best.
Mom, I just want to thank you for all what you have done for me and that you've always been there. So I just want to say thanks for Happy Mother's Day.
Love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day. Thanks for everything, Mom. I love you. Happy Mother's Day.
Don't you just love the humor? I would love to have an opportunity for everyone to come up and bless their mothers and the wives and of their mothers of their children, but we don't have time. I just want to encourage you to do that, to do it regular, to speak life, to instill truth into the hearts of those around you, and just allow God to make those blessings and multiply them and allow people to prosper and be all God's called them to be. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the privilege to share together. We thank you for your word and for the truth of your word and for the principles in your word. And thank you for the power of words and the spoken words and of blessing and what it means to people, to inspire them to be all you've created them to be. Lord, help us to be those agents, to always inspire, to be people who help inspire people to pursue their passions, their dreams, what God has gifted them in. Help us to affirm them, to encourage them, or help that to be a way of life for us and not just a once a year or every now and then. Or help us to be a way of life that we inspire people to follow you. Lord, thanks for your gift of Jesus, that we can have life and we can instill hope in to think of what you have in store for the believer. It's beyond this world. It's out of this world. Lord, we love you, and we thank you for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen.